Welcome to This Week in Brattleboro History,
produced by
the Brattleboro Historical Society
and
the Brattleboro Area Middle School.
Today we will be interviewing Ben Robb from the Robb Family Farm. They have been sugaring for four generations. Yeah, they sugar on 370 acres of land on Ames Hill Road in Brattleboro, Vermont.
The interviewers are Gilbert, Pfeiffer, and Davies.
In relation to the past 10 or 15 years, or has like the window for tapping and getting the sap from maple trees gotten smaller?
Just a basic overview. What we're looking for is like classic spring days. So nice cold night, nice warm day. So think of like frozen ground in the morning, muddy by 10, right? So what we were seeing before was a shift just in the time frame, and we weren't too worried. However, this year especially, we've gotten a lot of bigger swings in climate. If you know anything about like climate change, the polar vortex stuff. So we have a jet stream that goes around the North Pole, and then sometimes pressure systems will shift and it forces that cold air down, and then we'll get big swings back where we get a lot of warm air. So what we were doing is we're kind of in this big swings of it, right? And we were catching them when we were going up and they were going down. So it was really more hectic rather than like seeing a change in the time frame or a shortening of it.
So does like the temperature really, does the temperature of the ground change how the sap is?
Mm-hmm. So when we're maple sugaring, maple trees are using those sugars that it stores over the winter to grow new leaves in the springtime. So what kind of lets the maple tree know, quote unquote, is those classic spring days. And that's when those pressure systems in the tree will actually bring sugars to the canopy. And that's kind of how you can tell the season's over when you look at a sugar bush and the tops of the trees are kind of the reddish hue. And those are those little buds coming in.
So you're saying a polar vortex this season?
Just those big swings of cold, and then we get this warm weather coming in too. Yeah, those were not helpful.
The weather swings were
just
so
big
massive
swings, yeah.
That the trees didn't really know what was going on.
Oh, we were just the fact that we were catching them. So if you think about it as like a graph in temperature, we're catching it, oh, this is the perfect temperature, and then it goes past that, and then comes back down, we catch it as it comes back down, and we're catching it as it's going back up. Really irregular.
So how has this change directly affected the amount of syrup produced?
We like those steady periods of weather for like, say like a week. We have this general trend of like those classic spring days like I was talking about, where we really didn't have that, and that's where we really produce a lot of our maple syrup when we have those really steady days. So to give you an idea of this year, we added about 2,000 more taps. And last year we only had about 5,000 and we made about 1,300 gallons of maple syrup. And then we added those 2,000 and we only made about 1,600 gallons of maple syrup.
Mm. So trees did not produce as much this year?
Yeah. Like it really comes down to weather, and we didn't have those steady spring days of just constant, like the same, like, oh, tomorrow is going to be the same weather as today, where this season was like, oh, it's 60 degrees and sunny this week. Oh, next week it's going to drop down in freezing temperatures all week.
Has this had a similar effect on others in the area?
Around the area, it's been about fairly similar. Some producers up north weren't really heavily affected this year because they got prolonged season because being up north, right now it's a little cooler and they were able to prolong it a little further. However, in Canada, they're seeing a dip in production as well. They're seeing a five-year low in their syrup stores, so they will do it a little differently than us. They have what they call the Federation, which is a group of, it's like a conglomerate of sugar makers, and they kind of just take all their maple syrup they make and they put it in stores, and it kind of keeps the market really steady. So if we had these really bad years, they can put it into out to the market and stabilize them. However, they're at a five-year low for their stores.
Do you think this will get better or maybe worse in the future?
If I was to imagine, I imagine it would probably get worse. I hope that this year is a fluke, and it just what we're seeing is more, like I said, a shifting of the window when we're sugaring rather than like shortening it or making it really irregular like it was this year.
The technology, you said you tapped how many more trees?
2,000. So, clarification, a tap is just one little thing you see go to the tree. Each tree will have anywhere from 1 to 3 taps on it.
Wow.
Yeah, depending on the health of the tree.
Is there like a gravity line?
No, so with 7,000, so the 2,000 taps we added were gravity line. On the farm, our vacuum system.
Oh, all right.
So the gravity line system is just the way it is. It's able to have gravity the entire way because it's on a really steep slope. But most of our farm is in a valley, and we have to have a vacuum system to bring it to us. Otherwise, having 5,000 taps with buckets and gravity lines would be a lot of work. A lot of work.
But we were talking earlier about how now other maples are being worked into this system. Could you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so recent, it's been a more of a recent trend. Bigger producers will actually tap red maples, some soft maples, and then also Norwegian maples. If folks are doing that in their front yard, usually say don't do that because you're going to get really dark syrup because the sugar content is so low. But if you're able to have so many of these taps, like 7,500 taps is a fairly decent operation, you can do that and get away with it and actually produce more maple syrup.
Because it blends in.
It blends, yes, exactly.
All the other
sap. Yeah, so how we get the different types of grades of syrup has to do with the sugar content. That's why later in the season, the sugar content of the sap is lower, so we have to cook it for longer to get to the right density, and that's what gives it the darker color. So early season, high sugar content, trees got a lot of sugar, that's when we make the light stuff because we don't have to cook it for as long to get to the right density.
Can you like taste the difference between the trees or is it just the sugar content? That...
Between the trees, don't really know. I have to do like a real, that'd be a really extensive test. There are people who claim to be maple syrup sommeliers, which is like, you know, like the people that taste the wine and they spit it back out, where it can tell what part of the state maple syrup's from. I don't know if that's real or not, but the grades, there's a marked difference, like a clear difference. My personal favorite is the amber rich, which is like that middle grade.
So how old does a tree have to be?
About 40 years.
And do you plant new trees or do they just grow naturally?
Nope. So this is really the thing I nerd out about with maple sugaring is that we've just gone out into the woods and put in time and effort to make a system, but we just found maple trees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really funny and really cool because like I was over in Bennington a little bit ago and there were buckets on a tree in a dentist's parking lot. Right? So like people just gone out and put buckets up. I live in downtown Brattleboro. There's someone in my neighborhood that has a sugar shack in their yard and they've tapped the trees like out in front of my apartment and that's where they boil. So it's like it's one of those things where you can just go out and find the resources. I've been on family trips with my dad where we'll be like secretly like whispering to each other like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Like, look at all these maples. It's crazy in here. Like how'd you run the lines? Oh, I would run a main line up through there probably. And then, so it's a resource you can just go out and find.
With the gravity lines you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
And do they all go to your farm? Do you have to get like a tractor or something to bring it in?
So the gravity lines, you usually have to do that because you can only set it up in certain locations. So back before we had our vacuum system, before we went to 5,000 taps, we would have to go out to certain areas where it was like the bottom of a hill and get those. And where we couldn't do that, it was buckets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is a lot of work.
A lot of work, yeah.
Yeah.
How large is the area that you're sugaring in?
So our farm is 370 acres.
And are you sugaring like all of it?
Yes, wherever we can. Okay. We're constantly expanding. We'll usually go out and find a sugar bush, which is just a bunch of maple trees, and then either cut down anything that's not a maple tree, a lot more light in, or just expand our operation to service that area.
So do you see any long-term trends?
Long-term trend probably is, unfortunately, what we're seeing now, like I said, shift to earlier in the season. So early and early, like up north, they were tapping in January, and we're usually tapping in February. So probably shift that way, and then probably more of what we saw this year, unfortunately, which is those big swings in weather patterns, inconsistent weather.
So like how long is the season that you can produce the best?
The best is debatable, I guess. I think it's just whatever you like. Early season, if you like that stuff, it's usually February into late February. And then later in the season, right about now, we are making the really dark stuff, and some people really like the dark stuff. It's all personal preference. Our lightest stuff used to be called fancy before we went to an interstate grading system. So that used to be our big seller because people would come up and they wouldn't really know. And they'd be like, oh, it's fancy. Like, this is the best stuff. It's grade A fancy. But then we went to a universal grading system. The grading system just describes the color and the taste. And now it's like 30, 30, 30 for the three different grades for our sales.
So the grade system isn't really like the quality. It's just the taste.
Yeah. The qualities, I guess, of your finished product. So Golden Delicate is the first one, Amber Rich is the second one, Dark and Robust is the last. So whatever you're really going for. There's no correct, quote-unquote, answer.
And sales are starting to indicate that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Usually we sell out of the Golden Delicate, which is the lightest grade earlier because we don't make as much of it. Make a lot of Amber Rich, which is our middle grade, and then Dark and Robust.
So with all these swings, is like from the sugar maple the economy going up or down?
That's a tough question. So with the Federation, that stabilizes, because they have a reserve, that stabilizes the market pretty effectively. We always sell out of our maple syrup. We are not really in competition with other sugar makers around us because they are in the similar boat as us. They will sell their products because it's in high demand. But yeah, but we also don't see those financial swings because of the Federation.
And the Federation's in Canada.
Mm-hmm. And I see the benefits of the Federation, but they always come to conferences to try to sell us on the Federation. But none of the American producers, every single year they come up and speak, and it's a stone face room. Like, just because how they work is, as soon as it comes off the evaporator, it belongs to the Federation rather than the actual producer.
So you said there's a Canadian Federation. Mm-hmm. Is there like a group of sugar makers in the United States that...
No.
No?
Nothing like that in the United States.
Now, it turns out that we have done research on this in Vermont and know that back in the 1880s and 90s, mm-hmm. Vermont sugar makers did begin a similar type of federation. However, what they did was they just tried to bring people to a more uniform production standard. And they didn't then force folks mm-hmm. to turn everything over to one massive federation. Instead, what they were saying is, we want to have the same quality mm-hmm. for every individual producer, so that when people come to purchase in Vermont, they have a good sense that what they're buying is going to be the same, whether they go to this farm or that farm. If they're going to buy mm-hmm. fancy maple syrup, it's going to be similar in grade.
And we buy test kits from the state of Vermont every year. And I like that a lot, because Vermont then has a higher quality product, right? There's a reason everyone comes to Vermont for maple syrups. It's definitely for skiing, but it's also for other things.
And so Vermont, early on, by the early 1900s, had established a uniform quality standard, which has allowed people like the Robs to continue to produce independently and have their product disappear every year mm-hmm. because of such a demand. Because around the world, there's a demand. You have a pretty good clientele beyond...
Oh, yeah.
Beyond here. You use the internet?
Oh, yeah. So we've had travel shows from South Korea come to the farm. We got a boon many years ago. You guys probably don't know who this is, but Brooke Shields apparently came to the farm. And then she got asked by People Magazine to do like a Christmas time gift idea in People Magazine. And she recommended go to Rob Farm Maple Syrup. And it was a madhouse after that.
Where is your syrup sold?
Our syrup sold is mostly from the farm. We sell it straight out of the sugar house and the shop. You can find some of our maple syrup actually at the Vermont Country Store. That's the only other place we sell it.
Is there any traditions that you guys still kept even with like the technological advances?
Tradition. So we always have a cigar on the first boil. That grandpa started that one. But traditions, like when I think of traditions for the farm when we're boiling, it's less of traditions like, oh, we have to do it, and more of traditions like, of course this is happening kind of thing. So everyone will swing by the sugar house at least once. Everyone will come in, they'll bring food for everyone that's in there. If you see someone working in there, like working on the evaporator, their family. Rob Family Farm is Rob Family Farm. It's not like we have any like employees. Either family, either by adoption or by blood. Those are the kind of traditions I think of when I think of that.
How many gallons did you make this time?
1,600 gallons. Well, the text I got was 1,630-ish gallons.
That's a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So was this an average season, or was this a...
This was a rough season, I would say. We produced the most we've ever done, but only by 300 gallons, with the addition of 2,000 more taps. So I would say if we didn't have the 2,000 more taps, it would have been worse year or bad year.
How much more syrup would you produce with, you know, adding that many more taps on a normal year?
It's tough to say because you're asking me to do maple sugaring math. And maple sugaring math is really notoriously hard because of just there's so many factors to go into it. But we probably should have been upwards of 2,000 gallons with those 2,000 more taps.
But it sounds like the polar vortex, the weather...
The big weather swings. Yep.
Had a negative impact on things.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Rob.
You're very welcome.
Please join us next week for another story from our community's past.